WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. I'll have more details later on this week. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Still have some Raven scratch-offs to give away, even though the season's over. Also, some holiday cash drops that I gave away last week. We had a wonderful, wonderful little gathering over at G&A Restaurant in White Marsh. You'll hear Andy Ferranto. You'll hear my friend Mike Shue from WJZ, as well as Nick Fisher from Wise Markets on the air this week here at AM 1570. We're cleaning lockers out in Owings Mills. Luke is will be among the reporters in asking exit interviews, as we would say. I don't know where the exit interview will be with Lamar Jackson. Luke, before we get into the offseason, we went long and hard on the Bengals game in a prior segment. Are we done, or is there anything left to nitpick about Sunday night's game, and other than saying maybe Tyler Huntley should have gone low instead of high?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think something, as much as you and I were focused talking about Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson not being there and what that means, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't mention J.K. Dobbins and his disenchantment in the post-game locker room. He was not at the podium, but spoke at his locker. And you know, the comments, which were very much flooding onto Twitter late Sunday night, or I guess technically maybe very early Monday morning, as far as his displeasure with getting 13 carries and talking about Tyler Huntley shouldn't have been in that situation and he wanted to be the guy. And, you know, this is something that J.K. Dobbins at different points, you know, he's got a very strong personality. He's got a lot of confidence in himself. And heck, the way he ran the ball after coming back from his in-season scope, it's hard to blame him for not having some of that swagger and everything, but just another sign of, is this tenable? Is this thing going in a good direction with Greg Roman? And I think we're going to get an answer to that sooner rather than later. That's typically how these things work. If you're going to make a change, I mean, you know, I said it last off season, you know, if you're going to ask me which coordinator, if I'm going to make a change, Wink Martindale or Greg Roman, I probably would have gone in the other direction. But hey, Mike McDonald, you know, the defense played better as the year went on, but very clear that J.K. Dobbins was not happy with not having a bigger workload, which it's an indictment on Greg Roman. Is could be perceived as a slight even to Tyler Huntley and Gus Edwards, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. Whether he should have said it or not, he said it. So, but it is a reflection of, you know, how he's feeling and quite possibly how other individuals are feeling about the state of the offense. And let's face it, Sunday night was the first time this team had scored two touchdowns in a game, Nestor, since the Jacksonville game, which was 3 days after Thanksgiving. They hadn't scored two touchdowns in a game since then. So, and that's even before Lamar Jackson got hurt. That was the week before he got hurt. So, I mean, it just speaks to this offense not functioning at a high level for a long time. And yeah, you're not going to be clicking all the way around when you're without your franchise quarterback. But I think to put it all on just Lamar Jackson's absence and to say everything is fine. And no one, I don't think very many people are suggesting that, but I think it's very much not a good reflection on Greg Roman, and probably not a great reflection on the confidence level in Greg Roman within that locker room. Whether a player should say something or not publicly is another issue. But when it's said, generally speaking, there are others in the locker room who feel a certain way about it too. So, you know, it's, you know, we'll see what happens on that front. And like I said, I think we're going to see a change at offensive coordinator. I've been saying that for weeks. No, I don't think this entire thing is all Greg Roman's fault. But at the same time, you know, we always say in these types of situations, you can't fire everybody, right? You know, there's only so many different things you can do. And personnel was a part of this. And I'm not going to give Eric DaCosta a pass at, you know, how wide receiver was handled this past offseason, as we've talked about. But the Dobbins comments being as direct, as blunt as they were, you know, that's something that we haven't seen a whole lot of that out of a John Harbaugh locker room in recent years. And
well, this is a time for blunt, right? This is when you're going to get blunt right now, right?
Sure.
His fault, their fault, not my fault, injury, should have. Hey, Luke, come over here. Let me tell you what really happened here. Because that's what a reporter is. That's what I've done. And I'm not available to do that. But the truth will come out about all of this. And it's probably going to be really ugly. Not just that they lost, that they didn't win the Super Bowl, that they were 8-3, that they blew leads, like all of the standard storylines and themes that this would have, if you were writing a novel about the season. The most important thing is Lamar, and that's obvious. And all of the rest of this, as you would say, is eyewash. And the feeling that there's real problems there, and the only way to solve that problem isn't money at this point. Dude, he could have been making $80 million a year. He would have been unavailable to play Sunday night, according to him, right? So it doesn't matter what you pay him or what the contract is. Will he be available? And that's a question that the organization, now that they've gone down a rockier road where they've obviously had some communication and trust issues, as we brought up in the last segment, that this is when the zit gets popped. And over the next 60 to 90 days, all these number eight jerseys, and he's the star, and he's the – they took him off their Christmas card. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they just are going to – if I'm predicting, if you're giving me a dollar to bet on it, I'm predicting everything Dennis and I have been talking about for 8 months, which is there'll be hurt feelings, there'll be a deal, they'll get less than they want, but more than some people think they're going to get, and then they're going to have to go figure the quarterback thing out. Because if Lamar's not your quarterback, and this is the big question, who is? That'll be the biggest question of the offseason for them.
Well, and let's face it, and as much as – I mean, I feel for Tyler Huntley because, I mean, my goodness – before the fumble at the goal line, you know, he was easily having his best game of the season. I mean, we've talked a lot about the shoulder, talked a lot about the struggles of the offense. He's a backup quarterback. I think he's a pretty good backup quarterback. Let's be clear about that. But, you know, as much as you're disappointed for him, and according to John Harbaugh and Huntley didn't dispute it. You know, he's trying to make a play going over the top instead of burrowing underneath and, you know, having a couple guys lined up behind him, pushing him across the goal line. Whether you like the play call or not, that was...
Dude, you'll have nightmares about that.
That was supposed to be, that was the intent. Really. But you just said it. I mean, you know, as it pertains to Lamar Jackson, you're going to... If he's not going to be your quarterback in 2023 and he's not going to be playing on the tag or he's not going to be extended long term, and again, I don't know what's going to happen. I have ideas and thoughts, and you know, I think I've said for a while, be ready for anything at this point.
We can all be predictive, but it's not going to be stable. Whatever it is, it's going to be cantankerous.
But the thing we'll say, and you know, you made mention of this with how Huntley played, and you talked about this a little bit in the previous segment. When, the Ravens went out there and played hard, but they lost. And let's face it, when Lamar Jackson hasn't been on the field the last few years, they haven't won very many of those games. I mean, that's just the truth. Now, we can talk about being blown out or style points or, only lost by one score in all these games. They lost. You know, look at their record since 2019 with him on the field as opposed to when he hasn't been on the field. Now, the availability piece and the injury piece, that's part of the discussion, and it's become a more concrete part of the discussion rather than the hypothetical of 3 or 4 years ago when we talked about it.
I was Mr. Hypothetical.
I know you are. But I will also point out he got hurt in the pocket twice. You know, he got hurt as a passer twice. Anyway, not trying to belabor that point, but that's part of the equation now. Whether you think he's the most injury-prone quarterback in the league now or whether you've looked at it as – you know, he's had two injuries. You know, they haven't been injuries that are necessarily career altering type things, but it's part of the conversation. But the very real part of this is, even if you're of the mind that this isn't tenable and him playing on the tag's not going to work and you haven't been able to work out a long-term deal in 2 years, so what about this year makes you feel that that's going to change? You know, and we talked about the issue of, you know, how much trust there is between the two sides, what kind of disconnect there appears to be on a number of levels. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean they hate each other, but that's not, it doesn't feel like it's a open, trustworthy kind of, you know, give and take that feels like you can do the kind of business they need to do to extend this relationship. They haven't been able to do it in 2 years. That's why people who kept saying, well, this is a non-issue. Well, if it was a non-issue, they would have had a deal 18 months ago, right? I mean, like, let's just, you look at it in the most simplistic way you can. If it wasn't an issue, they would have had a deal. So it is an issue. And it feels, you know, now with the this injury and how the teams talked about it compared to how he came out and talked about it. I mean, there's clearly a disconnect. Now, you might be of the mind that they can mend fences and be fine. And I'm not saying they can't do that even, but if you can't, and if you are moving on, you just said it. It's great to talk about, well, we can get three first round picks, or we can get this, or we can get that. You got to replace your franchise quarterback.
Who is going to play quarterback on September the 9th or whenever the
I mean,
kickoff is?
We could talk about all these other positions and all these, you like your defense. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're not winning Super Bowls like you did in 2000 anymore. That's not the NFL anymore. I'll say that much. Not saying defense doesn't matter, but my point is quarterback and offense matters so much more than it did 20 years ago. That's not to say, I mean, it mattered 20 years ago, but you get my point. You can't play in the way that you played 20 years ago.
Kickoff is September 10th, by the way. That's the Sunday kickoff. The Thursday night kickoff that the Ravens could only be a visitor for will be Thursday night. So that would be the 7th of September. So we will be the next time the Ravens take the field from now on, you and I will be talking about September 10th, September 10th, September 10th. So do the math. September 10th, it's 9 months from now, like literally, right? Or 8 months from now, excuse
eight
me.
Months. Yeah.
Eight months from now. What happens between now and then? Oh my God. This should be as combustible an offseason as we've had around here in a long, long. We don't have rocky off seasons around here. They lose. You and I get our feelings hurt. We come home. We go to the Super Bowl. We come back home. They go down to Jupiter. They come back. They sign some guys. They don't sign some guys. They have a CJ Mosley leave and a washed up guy from Seattle. They sign and bring. These are mainly not choppy off seasons, right? Are we going to fire the coach? Do we need a new quarterback? These are not questions that are asked here very often as a franchise, as they are in Miami and Arizona and Cleveland every other year.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's what makes this so complicated. I mean, even let's throw out the trade scenario just for the moment. And let's say the most likely scenario is Lamar is tagged, but the Ravens still want to keep him long-term, or at least keep him for 2023, let's say. Okay, you can say, all right, we're going to get a new offensive coordinator. It's time to move on from Greg Roman. His style of Ravens offense has run its course. 2019, thank you so much for that, Greg. It's a record-setting offense, but we've only gone backwards since then. And that's a fair assessment at this point. Now, again, is that all Greg Roman's fault? No. There have been lots of factors at work here, including the availability of your franchise quarterback. But for the sake of argument, you decide you're going to move on from your offensive coordinator. Well, if Lamar Jackson's going to be tagged, remind me, was he at OTAs this past year? They were voluntary. No, he was not. Do you think he's going to show up at mandatory minicamp? Is he going to show up for training camp with a brand new offensive coordinator if he's been tagged? Or is this going to play out how it frequently does? Not always, because some guys do sign their tag and show up for training camp, and it's as close as can be to business as usual. So I don't want to say that it's definitely going to play out that way, but let's say it plays out as it quite frequently can with a player who's been franchise tagged. Until you sign that tag, you're under no contractual obligation or no CBA obligation as a player to show up for mandatory minicamp.
You're unemployed
camp.
At that point.
Yeah,
literally.
You're not under contract. So you can talk about a new offense coordinator. Hey, there's already been reports about DeAndre Hopkins potentially being traded. Maybe the Ravens, who, if you recall, were in on those kind of talks, and they didn't land him. Ultimately, he went to Arizona. But let's say the Ravens land him. You've got a receiver to pair with Rashad Bateman coming back healthy, and your wide receiver group looks much better. And hopefully you're drafting a wide receiver at some point in the first three rounds, let's say. So let's say the wide receiver position is looking up, right? Great. Guys like
Where
me
are they getting $20 million for a wide receiver after they've given $20 million to a tackle, $20 million to a corner,
gotta make
$20
it work.
Million dollars to a linebacker now?
Got to make it work. I mean, you can't – this is it reminds me of talking about the Orioles. Well, they can't sign starting pitchers because of Camden Yard. No, they got to make it work. It's too important. You can't have your wide receiver position be your worst in the NFL the way it was at the end of the year, or worst two or three in the NFL. I hear you. But for argument's sake, let's say they land Hopkins or some other guy.
When I see people on the internet talk about them landing A, a wide receiver that would want the ball, B, a guy who's going to make a ton of money, and where I my first thing is that's fantasy land. Who are they getting rid of to make room for a $20 million wide receiver? That's how I feel about it. Now, if you want to say mail the check, blow the cap up, let's go win, play over the cap. Oh, okay. I mean, that's always available, right?
Well,
You
or
want to
we'll
win
just
or
keep.
not, right?
Do
The
we just
Rams
do we
have
just want
those
to
picks,
do we
right?
just want to keep? No, I'm not saying that at all. You're acting as though like having a good wide receiver is like like the Ark of the Covenant. Lots of go look at. I mean, did you see the playoffs? Do you see what these teams have at wide receiver compared to what the Ravens trotted out there at wide receiver? Look, again, we're getting off track here
Well,
as
the
far as
Dolphins almost won too,
we're getting off track.
right?
That was a weird game. Anyway,
Yeah,
point I'm trying to make is you can address offensive coordinator. You can bring in a legitimate number one. And look, I'm not saying it has to be DeAndre Hopkins. My point is make the wide receiver position look much better. The wide receiver position didn't look that terrible at the end of last season. And then they traded Marquise Brown, which fine, and then didn't replace him for whatever reason, because I guess the Ravens just feel that it's not important, even though it is. But let's say new offensive coordinator, you add a wide receiver's looking up, Rashad Bateman's coming back healthy. If Lamar Jackson doesn't show up till August 25th, which is well within, perfectly within his right as a player receiving the franchise tag, what kind of position are you going to be in going into this season and or this coming season? And look, that would be a fair question for Lamar too, if that behooves him, as far as performing at his best, highest level.
we're going to pay you
But
$50 million a year, and you're going to show up whenever you want. That's the
well,
franchise tag.
yeah, I mean, 44, whether it's exclusive, non-exclusive, however you want to handle it. So the point is, this is going back to what you were saying before I laid out this scenario of putting aside the potential of a trade, is it's really messy. I mean, it's really messy. I mean, the best case scenario you look at it at this point, because I'm not expecting the Ravens to just sit down with Lamar and work out a long-term contract in the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen. If you want to ask me right now, what's more likely? He has a long-term contract in place for the start of the new league year, or he's traded by the draft, let's say. I'm going to take the draft or the trade as the more likely scenario at this point. Now, I don't know that. That is not me hearing that from someone within the organization. I'm just looking at the reality of you've been at this for the better part of 2 years trying to get a long-term deal. So, what about this mess of a end of a season is going to change that on
Well,
either
he's not going to
side?
move on money because he sees his value as even more because
Yeah.
they couldn't win without him and they can't win without him. So he thinks everything he asked for, he should get. And they're like, dude, you haven't played in December the last 2 years. No, I mean, like we'll just go do something else. We were a franchise before you came here and your statue's down in Louisville and you're fine. But I mean, from the Ravens' perspective, I think there's palpable disappointment in Lamar from the daddy standpoint of him doing what they needed him to do in their minds to give him $250 million. I think that there's really ruffled. I don't think this is fixable. Like, you know, I look at it and say the person that would fix it would be the agent, would come in and sort of smooth this over and bring people in and say, look, this is the best place for you. These good people have given you a chance the last 5 years. They've structured everything around you. They're going to go get a wide receiver, like all of the promises that they make. But to your point, he doesn't trust them any more than I trust them. I know them to be liars, the Ravens organization. So he doesn't trust them, and they certainly don't trust his knee. Like, I don't think they trust his knee to say the next 5 Januaries to 24, 25, 26, 27. How many will he be available? How old will he be? How many times is he going to run the ball in September, October, November? Because that's what he knows how to do. They're never going to turn him into a pocket passer. I mean, Jason Cole came on last week, and his indictment of Lamar is he never became the pocket passer that he needs to be as a 27, 28, 29-year-old guy that this we're going to run 10, 12, 14 times a game. That had to be a sliding scale that he would be doing less of that now than more of that. The part of that was having running backs, right? And the ability to do that. And part of that was the availability and being on the field to see the body of work. in December and January. He's still a guy that has not won January football games. All that being said, Luke, the bottom line is there's going to be a line from here to the airport of franchises that are willing to sell the sizzle as well as the steak of Lamar, and he'll be exciting for another franchise, right? Like, I don't know that they could ever sell him as exciting here. Around here, he's the guy that couldn't play the playoff games. But this is about them, and I'm going to write about this. This is about them celebrating him, talking about how wonderful he is, bringing him flowers, and then dealing him. Because fighting with him or indicting him or Harbaugh saying what it looks like he wants to say at the podium but can't, none of that helps their value for him in the coming weeks. They just need to keep their mouth shut for 10, 12 more weeks and get their best deal and move, because that has to be what they're thinking right now. They're not thinking, well, we'll go back and bring him flowers and just give him what he wants. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Well, one thing I will disagree with you on is talking about not selling that sizzle in this city. There are lots of people, a huge portion of this fan base that is still very pro Lamar Jackson and does not want to see him be traded and has seen this team lose a lot of football games when he hasn't been on the field. Now, does that mean that you give him a fully guaranteed deal and you just give him what he wants? No, I'm not suggesting that, but it's not just as simple as that the entire fan base is ready to move on. I don't buy that whatsoever. I think that's a big part of
No. I'm talking about Owings Mills. They're ready to move on. I think they're ready to move on. I don't think they're ready to go into playoff games with him and what he might say on the internet and just like just all of it. I my vibe, and again, they don't talk to me anymore, and when they do, sure, I'm afraid they're lying. So I'm at the Jason Lockin for a moment of, are you telling me the truth? You're going to try to make a fool out of me if I report something. But this is obvious to watch this and say, feels closer to him going somewhere else. And the reason would be is they'll get somebody else lathered up for him the way the Browns were, and they'll get a lot of value out of him. I think they see them, and they'll take their lumps. I mean, the real question is, are they going to be any good next year? Because if they don't have him, how can they possibly be any good? That would be our question.
I mean, your clarification, I don't disagree necessarily. Like, do I know exactly how the Ravens are feeling about this? I mean, they're clearly frustrated. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, they can, publicly, or they can leak what they want to NFL Network or ESPN. And again, that's part of what you just said. I mean, you have to put on a happy face about this and all of that. But, it's frustrating from the standpoint of how much sweat equity they've put into. Remember the revolution? You remember in 2019, all the talk of the revolution, and they brought in Paul Johnson, the former Navy coach, former Georgia Tech coach, and all
How
these
about
different.
This? That thing was called Big Trust, like trust, right? Trust, Big Trust, and that's the thing that's, if you're gonna talk, there's your headline, Luke. You just wrote my column for me, right? Like, where's all the trust? Where's all of this? That's dude, they don't trust Greg Roman to call the right plays, right? Like. There's a real problem there. And Steve's the king of all of this, right? And that's why people calling for Harbaugh's head, I'm thinking, I don't think he'll fire John, but I don't think he's happy with John.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've mentioned Greg Roman. This is where you kind of look at this thing and say, John's in charge of the offense. Now, Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator, right? Mike McDonald is the defensive coordinator. Chris Horton is a special teams coordinator. We get that. But ultimately, the buck stops with John. So that's where, if I'm looking at this thing, if Greg Roman, if John Harbaugh gets up later this week and says Greg Roman's our guy, then my thoughts and the conversation changes then in regards of John Harbaugh then, because again, you look at this thing, whether Lamar's going to be here or not, this thing has, it's gotten stagnant, right? I mean, it's sputtered, it's stalled. 2019 record setting, great. Awesome, right? Great memories, 14-2. Best offense the Ravens have ever had. Lamar's MVP unanimously, deservedly so. But it's gone in the wrong direction since then. And, that's where you look at this thing. And it's easy to say, well, we were up 8 inches away from taking the lead in Cincinnati and the ball goes the other way. Well, you were close. But how many times did we see critical mistakes and things of that nature late in games, whether it was the offense or the defense? I mean,
dude, they couldn't manage the clock on Sunday night. Sure. They couldn't get plays in all year. Like, yeah.
So that's where you've got to react here. Now, that doesn't mean I'm calling for everyone to be fired, but I don't think this is a case like I thought it was more so last year, where, to me, I was more inclined to run it back last year and to say, hey, the injuries were crazy. This year, I think we're going to see some level of change. It's just a matter of how much. Is it going to be Greg Roman, or is it going to be Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson, and who knows out who else over the course of the next few months? It's going to be fascinating.
All right, we'll talk about that. Greg Roman, John Harbaugh, that'll be our next topic to tackle around here. We're not tackling a crab cake this week. I tackled one last week at G&A Restaurant. You can hear our interviews with Andy Ferrantos, my dear bud, Mike Hsu from WJZ. Had a great chat with him about the work that he's doing now in storytelling, as well as my pal Nick Fisher up at the Honey Go Wise location. We had a Wise conversation as well. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are going to be giving some scratch-offs away next week as we continue the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I just set a date for Drug City. I've got dates out. We're trying to figure out the Super Bowl, trying to figure out the weeks in February. So we'll get all that together. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. I'm sporting my Window Nation gear right now. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. No financing cost for 5 years. Lamar will cost more than that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.